This episode is sponsored by our friends at Fujifilm North America. Their X-Series digital cameras and lenses may just give you that creative edge you're looking for in your portraits and events. You'll find everything from 40 megapixel image quality to 40 frames per second burst, plus unique in-camera film simulation modes and effortless usability. Click the link in the episode description to find the full range. There has never been a better time to invest in your passion, so make sure to click the link. Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
And nobody is blinking or even considering, like, what, nobody cares about that. So why is it so difficult for photographers to really wrap their head around, like, hey, if you are a luxury product and you're offering a luxury experience, why are you so concerned about the numbers?
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. This week, my guest on the Portrait System Podcast is Monica Demel. Monica's a photographer in the Chicago area, and she's been in business for 24 years. Monica's pricing and how she does things now is very different than how she used to do things in the early years. Something she shares with us is how she had to take a long time off of work when she was going through breast cancer, and how she ended up turning her diagnosis into a passion project with such a beautiful campaign. This is a very inspiring episode, and I'm excited to introduce to you Monica Demel. You can hear this plus so much more on today's episode with Monica Demel. Hi, Monica. Welcome to The Portrait System. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. So nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. You've got quite a bit of experience under your belt when it comes to photography, right?
I guess you could say that, sure.
How long has it been since you've been a photographer?
Well, professionally, 24 years this year.
24 years, yeah. So that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Was this your only career, or did you have a career before that you switched?
I had a career before, for sure.
Okay. But then you were like, this isn't going to cut it. I'm ready to do something different.
I wish it was like that simple. But no, it wasn't exactly like that. I was always into art. I wanted to go into commercial art. I wanted to go into advertising, actually. Mm-hmm. That is kind of how I wanted my life to roll out. But I came from an immigrant family, and so that wasn't going to fly. And my parents were very set against having any kind of creative career as a way to make an income.
It's so interesting, because some of the other folks I've interviewed who also have, immigrated to the country, or parents who are immigrants, like, they kind of lean more towards wanting, and I'm so generalizing here, but often it's like, no, you go to college and you get like a real career, you know, as opposed to, and my dad was the same, and I'm not an immigrant, so.
Yeah, it's not just immigrant parents, but in my particular case, yeah, they told me, you know, hey, no, that's, you can't do that. I think because, you know, they want the best for you. They want you to be successful, and they don't feel like the creative. I mean, being immigrants, they don't really understand. Like, I probably could have made way more money, you know, if I had gone that route than I would have had I continued on with my corporate career, which I was an HR director for a long time. And then I also was a creative director simultaneously for many different sectors So kind of weird, but kind of the same. I know people are like, huh? But actually you're managing, you're both in both roles. You're managing projects, you're managing people. You know, it's technically the same transferable skills, although it's a little different.
Yeah. If you were to, you know, let's fast forward to today.
Yeah, for sure.
And you had a conversation with your parents. Are they still with us?
Yes.
Okay. And you had a conversation with your parents about your business now. Like, did it turn out different than they had expected? Like, if they didn't want you to do this sort of career, like if you talked to them about, you know, how much money you make now and if you're happy and that sort of thing.
They totally think that I should get back to the corporate world.
Oh, the old school mentality. Gotta love it.
Yeah, it's never going to change. I guess, as a matter of fact, this was just recently on the table again. And then my mom's like, don't you think that you know, and, you know, it just goes back and forth. And I think because right now, like, we have the health insurance problem, right? We need to get health insurance again. We had it and then we lost it. So now I think that's probably why she thinks it's best for me to go back to corporate. But
yeah. Okay. Really quick. That's a good side note to talk about health insurance. Mm-hmm. I feel like I talked about this two episodes ago, but I don't care. We're going to talk about it again because I feel like it's a big stressor for people.
Yeah.
And it can literally stop someone from quitting their corporate job. I've heard people say that, like, I don't quit because of health insurance.
Right.
And I just want to encourage people to really, really dive deep into not just Google searching online, but find, like, post in your local Facebook groups and ask for a health insurance person in your area, like specialist who can help walk you through these things. Because it doesn't, like, Dan and I pay, what is it? I think it's $700 for the four of us. You know, us and our two kids. And I know it's so different state to state, country to country. You know, I'm just talking about my personal experience here in Michigan.
Yeah.
And in Washington, $700 a month. And we have Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's like a silver PPO, but there's tax credits that you can get. We could have chosen a cheaper plan and just gotten less, you know, a higher deductible and, you know, higher office visits and things like that. But I don't want people to think it's still the old school COBRA ways. Do you know what I'm talking about with COBRA?
Yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, like, again, it depends on your age and also the, they say not the pre-existing isn't a factor, but really is a factor. So for us, the two of us, my husband is older than I am and he's had a Hodgkin's before. And mm-hmm. just for the two of us, it's $800, but that is with the credit.
And, okay, that's with the credit, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have a max, I think, cap on what they will go up to. And I think for us, it was ridiculous. Like, we do better as self-pay than with the insurance. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we've solved pretty much all of the problems except major medical.
Like, okay.
That's the only one that we need.
Now, like I said, obviously it's going to vary, of course. Yeah. Yeah. But if you think about it, so $800 a month, mm-hmm. there are people that I know that go out to dinner like three times a week or two times a week and probably drop $50 mm-hmm. each time you go to dinner, you know, or it's the Starbucks coffee
yeah.
or, you know, whatever. So if you do, how many shoots do you think you do per month on average?
Oh, really depends. But I think it's safe to say probably like five a month.
Okay. So what's 800 divided by five? Like 100 and... Oh my gosh, my math, 800 divided by five. So $160 yeah. per shoot that you could budget in as an expense. Now yeah. I know, like, cause it's like when you say $800 a month, it sounds like it's a lot of money, but if it's something you can like break down and again, I'm just trying to do this exercise because I've heard of people hating their job for the rest of their life.
Sure.
Because they didn't want to deal with like the health insurance thing. And it, you know, so that's, I don't know. I just try to get people to really think about it in a different way so that they can maybe have a happy life.
I mean, I think that the thing that to take away here from this, when I was doing some research, so we lost our insurance, like I want to say last September. So really great opportunities and options for people are like Costco now provides $100 either telehealth or in-person visit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that includes blood work and also your pharma.
Fantastic.
Your prescription medication. So super doable. And then there are programs that give you, you know, free PAPs, free mammograms. Mm-hmm. They're out there for anyone. It doesn't depend on income. And then they're also very, very, like, very inexpensive MRI and CT scan options out there that I've found. So really the only thing that would be, like I said, something to have to pay for is major medical when you're hospitalized.
Yeah. And exactly what you said. The point is there are options out there. Yeah. And if you can talk to someone who really knows like your state stuff, it's so helpful because it's like a black hole. It's you know, trying to talk to someone if you don't, you know, anyway. So, but in speaking of medical, it's so funny because I didn't mean for us to like all of a sudden get on this topic. Not funny, but because you have had some serious medical issues in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell people about it?
Sure. So, in the fall of 2022, right when I had just gotten back from my month-long trip to Italy, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, it was such a great time. I should probably get my mammogram, you know, maybe do it by the end of the year. Made my appointment, went in there, and then they call me back and they're like, hey, you know, you want to see some more photos? Can you come back? And I'm like, oh my God, really? Seriously? Because I had had a false positive like in my 30s. And so then from that point on, I just, you know, everything was just, I was so stressed at that point when I was in my 30s that I no longer get stressed when they ask me to come back. So I was just like, okay, sure, come back. And then they said, hey, we see something, you know, we're going to need to do a biopsy. And I'm thinking, seriously? And, you know, and then they told me like 3 days before Christmas, hey, by the way, you have breast cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, oh great. Now I have to not tell anyone in my family that I have breast cancer because I don't want to ruin Christmas.
Oh, God, that must have been horrible.
Yeah, so that was super interesting. But I mean, having had that experience, having gone through it now, I think I just didn't really know anything about breast cancer. Like I just, you know, like I had an aunt that passed away from breast cancer. Yes. But that was 20 years ago, you know, so like not really immediate family. Nobody really had any experience with it. And I was thinking to myself, like, what does this mean for me? You know, like what is, having that diagnosis mean? So luckily the really great thing was that I was able to find, we had just moved to our area, so I didn't really know anybody, but luckily I was able to find like an absolutely amazing surgeon. He was incredible. Like I really have like nothing but good things to say. I mean, to the point that when I went to see him, one of the first things he said is, here's my cell phone number and you can call me anytime.
Wow.
And I was like, who is this guy? I mean, like, I was just like, what? And actually, I mean, I didn't really call his cell phone except for one time. And he actually answered. He was on vacation, if you can believe it. And he answered and talked me down from the ledge because I was having a little meltdown after I spoke to the radiation person who was a male. And he told me that, like, he just said that. I mean, I have to say it because it happened, but so he's like a young man. He's telling me that if I don't want to have radiation, then I should just have a double mastectomy. That was my option. Huh. He just looked me right in the face and said it. And I was like thinking, how different would that be if the tables were turned and he was in my shoes and I was him? And I would just say, you know what, if you don't want to do this, then the best thing to do is just, you know,
cut your balls off.
Yeah, cut your balls off.
Yeah.
And just to see, you know, like, because it was so cold. And my husband was with me and he was just like, he couldn't believe it. And I said, yeah. He just looked at me and just straight out said that. And I was like, okay. Yeah, it was. And that was hard. And so then I called my surgeon and he's like, you never have to see this guy ever again. So that was awesome.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I imagine that could impact your business. I mean, you've got surgeries and treatments and doctor's offices and visits and, you know, how, okay. And I think this is extremely important to talk about, not just when you have, you know, a cancer diagnosis, but there are a lot of reasons that our work, our ability to work can be impacted. You could break your ankle. You could have a death in your family. You could have to suddenly take care of a family member. You could, have a baby and be on bed rest. You know, there's so many different reasons that our work can be impacted. So I'm curious for your situation, how did you work through that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I got my diagnosis in the slower months. It was December, right? So then January is usually a slow month for me, not usually a month that I'm booked, which is when my surgery was scheduled. So
real quick, Monica, will you tell people what you shoot just so they can kind of understand your business a little bit before we talk about how it was impacted?
Sure, absolutely. So I photograph mainly headshots, glamour, branding in my studio. That's pretty much it. I do a little family and a few seniors, but mostly it's headshots, branding, glamour, and yeah, that's it.
Okay, and you're in the Chicago area?
In the Chicago area, yeah. Okay. And I should add legacy portraits, yes.
Okay. Yeah, when you said you weren't really that busy in December, I thought, ooh, I don't think she does a whole lot of family.
No families. Well, I mean, I do a few, but like not really. That's not the bulk of my business.
Right, yeah. Okay, sorry. I just wanted people to have an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so for me, when I found out about my diagnosis, I couldn't focus on my business at all. It was too traumatic. Like it was the holidays. I was like, I can't think about this right now. I needed to just focus on myself because there was so many things happening and I just couldn't, focus on my business at all. Like mm-hmm.
Understandably. Yeah.
Left it for a time. And, you know, that was, really detrimental. I mean, you know, my first quarter was, you know, not the best quarter, but I think as I got into the second quarter, and then I've had my surgery, I recovered, because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel after my surgery. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel, what kind of treatments I was going to have. So I just left it.
Yeah. Now, that I think will sound scary to some people because, you know, not everyone has like a savings.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of rainy day fund, they call it, like a 6 month savings. And I think it is, I'm not trying to like lecture or whatever, but this is incredibly important because you never know. Right. Like you just got home from Italy.
Yeah.
You were like on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, bam. And that happened to Mitzi Starkweather too.
Yeah.
We were in Italy. I was photographing her running from the by the castle because she wanted to, you know, anyways, she had an idea in mind for a portrait and I'm like, I'll do it. She was running and she tore her Achilles tendon while we were there and then got home and like 2 weeks later found out she had breast cancer. Like you never know. And, you know, it's easy to say for me to sit here and say like, have a 6 month saving. But honestly, even if you can just put aside $100 a month, $200 a month, just pretend that money doesn't exist so that if something ever happens, you're okay.
I think that cannot be overstated how mm-hmm. important it is to have a fund, and that I think not just 6 months. I think like ideally like a year, because it goes, the money just goes really fast. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you think, oh well, you know, I'll be fine, but really it just goes so fast. And then if you don't have a cushion, it's very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, for one, you're dealing with the insane amount of stress that is mentally happening and also physically on your body, and to have to add that financial stress as well.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I think that is horrible. And then also, you know, luckily for me, I should have said that I photograph a lot of events also. I do a lot of event photography. So luckily for me, I didn't have events scheduled until like late spring, but they were there on the calendar, mm-hmm. you know, and that means running around at an event, whether it's corporate or private event, and, you know, smiling, even if you're not feeling it, because nobody, you know, I didn't really share about my breast cancer with not too many people. I think I was just keeping it very private.
Yeah.
Mostly because I didn't want people to be giving me those sad puppy eyes that mm-hmm. they give you when they find out you have a diagnosis, like, oh, like you're going to die any second while they're looking at you. It's like, no, you know, I'm okay. You know, I just didn't want that kind of, I don't want those sad eyes.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
I understand that. I remember Katie, my best friend, she unfortunately passed away in 2017, but, and same with Jill. I know a lot of you know Jill.
Yeah.
But Katie was like, I don't want to be known as the sick girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I felt that. And I just didn't, you know, I felt like we're all going through stuff. Everybody's got stuff. So I just want to be in the present moment. I don't want to be reliving my illness over and over again. And mm-hmm. I think that's what people need to understand about having any type of illness. Like sometimes people just don't want to talk about it so much because they're reliving it, you know?
Yeah. I want to say though, you did give me permission to ask you about that. So I don't want people to think that I just like blindsided you.
I just gave you permission.
Okay. Just to be clear on it.
You were okay.
But you know, I think this leads me to talking about pricing because again, you've got to budget in, you know, for health insurance, if that's an issue for you, but also for savings. And when I do my pricing calculator, you know, on the Portrait System calculator that we have, that is just an amazing tool.
Really,
I put in there how much I want to save per month. Mm-hmm. And then it spits out what I need to charge. So you need to make sure when you're doing your own numbers and you're running that calculator that you are including that savings in there.
Yeah.
And that, again, it makes it so that it's like, it takes the emotion out of how much do I need to charge? Like, oh, I don't know if I can. It's like, no, if something happens to you, you have to have a savings. And like, it just makes it easier to charge industry standard when you think about it in this way. Like, if I ever want to survive in this world or and have, not, okay, that sounds dramatic, but if I want my business to survive,
yeah,
and if something happens to me, if I want to come out of this on the other side, not, you know, financially drained or in debt, I've got to include savings in there as part of one of my line items for my budget.
And I think that's what's so important is when people are talking about pricing and not really understanding. They're like, oh, you know, for example, prints, right? They're a couple of dollars to print. They're like, oh, you know, I feel bad charging four times that amount or five times that amount. And I'm always like, what are you talking about? That's not what you should be charging for print because you're mm-hmm. not charging your client for the paper and the ink.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it probably only costs like $3 to create a pair of Michael Kors shoes.
Right. Exactly. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that.
And well, Michael and Kors, let's just be real, is not selling those for $3.
Exactly. And they just are, they're giving like, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know what happened. Why people don't understand.
Does Michael Kors make shoes? Or is
it- they do make shoes.
Okay. I'm so not a shoe and bag person. Like, I could not care less about brands of shoes and bags and whatever. So it just crossed my mind. Like, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
I know he does bags, but does he do shoes? Okay. Well, anyway, side note.
It's so funny. Do you know that brand? I'm gonna butcher saying this properly, but Hermes.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of that. Yep.
Yeah. So I was doing a little experiment of my own and I had decided that I wanted to order something from there because I wanted to see what the customer experience would be like.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, I ordered, they sell a book. I think it's like $25. They sell a book about their company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure many people know this. This is fairly interesting. So I ordered it and then it came and like, you know, like I think it was $25 for the book and it came with like the wrapping and all the stuff. And I just wanted to see how it would be. But then they continue to market to me, you know, they continue mm-hmm. to send me emails and market. And I mean, you go on their website and they don't have prices at all. Like you have to click on something to see the price and it's like, you know, $1,500 for a pen or something, you know?
Yeah.
But nobody is blinking or even considering like nobody cares about that. So why is it so difficult for photographers to really wrap their head around like, hey, if you are a luxury product and you're offering a luxury experience, why are you so concerned about the numbers?
Yeah, totally.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so things that have come out of that. I know you started a project that has to do with, you know, survivors of breast cancer, and it's a really cool project. Will you tell people a little bit about it?
Yes, absolutely. So how the project came to me is that while I was waiting for my results, for my second mammogram results, I cannot talk today. I noticed that on the walls of the room, there were pictures of like leaves and grass and stuff. And that really like just made my anxiety so much greater, because what I really needed at that moment was just other women who have gone through this before me. So I could see like, hey, they're 5 years out, they're doing great. And that it wasn't a death sentence, I guess. I just needed hope, and I didn't have that in the moment. So I decided, okay, why not create something? And the idea for this, so I'm creating a softcover table book that will be available in oncology and radiation waiting rooms to women who are in treatment. And the women who are going to be in the book are survivors of breast cancer who they're a few years out from their journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to photograph them, obviously, and provide like, you know, hair and makeup and all of that. And then the portion of product sales from this is going to a fund to help women who need services that are not covered by insurance.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, like wigs or tattoos for, eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Or go through chemo and whatever else they may need. Sometimes they just need a massage or mm-hmm. acupuncture. And a lot of times those are not covered and nobody covers that. And so those are things that we could do.
I love that. It's called the Brave Pink Warrior Project.
The Brave Pink Warrior Project. And then the last part of that project, because it's a three-part project, is having sponsors. And the sponsors will allow us to produce the books and give every woman photographed a copy of her own book, and also just allow us to have it available in these oncology and radiation waiting rooms in our local area.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Now, I feel like it's so important to have some sort of passion project, something that just really lights you up, whether it's a really creative project or giving back to the community in some way, you know, just something. And sometimes people say, you know, I put my heart and soul into these projects, but I don't know how to make, you know, monetize it. And sometimes you do monetize it, you know, with these projects, and sometimes you don't. Like, is this something that you make any money on? Are you losing money on it? You know, you're just doing it because it feels amazing to do.
I definitely am not losing money on it. I think it's just like incorporating anything like the current, you know, the 40 over 40 project, right? The 40 over 40 project, you photograph so many women at a discount, and then, you know, you do something like a gala or whatever it is. It's kind of incorporating some of those elements, but making it about a cause.
So it's not like you're just giving everyone who does this everything away for free.
No, absolutely not. There's a fee they have to pay to participate. And that covers the hair and makeup. And then I obviously provide them with lunch and a little gift and everything. And then they buy products. So they get one print, and then everything else they have to purchase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the same time, you are giving, you know, a portion of, you know, the proceeds and everything. And then, you know, sponsors are helping you pay for the books, which is amazing. So I love the idea of combining the two, where you're not draining your bank account just to do something that feels good and is helping the community, but you're also, it's like you're helping, but you're also able to bring in some income doing it. Because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. But I think the key here is that you definitely want, like for me, I wanted to make sure that these were survivors and not people who are currently in treatment that I'm photographing.
Okay.
Because people who are in treatment, you know, there's a lot going on for them. So they're not going to be in this project. They're going to be benefiting from this project, which is the point of this project in the first place. So I want to make sure that's very distinct. The people who are in treatment are not my clients. The people who are survivors a couple years out, like I said, those are the people that I'm photographing. And those people already have gone through their journey, and, you know, they're a little bit more settled and also have the funds to be able to give back.
Okay. And how are you finding people to be part of this?
A lot of it is word of mouth, calling people, who do you know, different support groups, things like that. And just being involved in different areas, like hospitals. They have, like one of the things that I do is I go for art therapy. There's a whole art therapy project at one of the hospitals. And just making connections that way for people who are, you know, coming. And there's events that go on from different, again, different hospitals that they have for breast cancer survivors and things like that. So lots of ways to connect with women.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. And when people, you know, when they do find out about it and apply, do you think they're, like, are they coming at it expecting everything to be free? Like, at what point do you say, you know, you get one free image, but there is opportunity to purchase more? Because I think sometimes people get confused about projects like this. Like, they just assume it's going to be all taken care of because it is, you know, kind of a charity type situation.
Well, I tell them completely, like, I'm fully transparent with them from the very first time I speak with them. I say, this project is, and it's also on my website, like, there's a cost involved to participate. And then again, any images that you purchase are an additional cost, and that's where the proceeds come in. So they know that right off the bat. It's not like, I mean, some people are like, oh, that's, you know, that's not in my budget. And that's totally okay. You know, it's not for everyone, but if you can't afford it and you want to give back, then great. You know, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Very cool. And then the book, have you had a book come to print yet? Or are you still in that process?
I'm still in the process because during the course, obviously, of so I do everything in the same day. They get photographed and then they look at their images, but I also record them sharing their journey. So everything is the same. So for me, the big thing was, like, I wanted to make sure the diagnoses were, like, under each image, that everybody has, like, the same stats, for example, like, right, what are they looking forward to? The same questions that I ask them. So I have that all recorded. So I'm still transcribing all of that information.
Well, I'm also thinking in my head, you were just diagnosed in December of 2022, you said? Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So you would be like superwoman if you went through diagnosis, surgeries, you know, treatment, taking care of yourself, getting your business back on track, and having the books already printed. Like,
that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I should have known that you wouldn't, yeah. But it's, do you, and again, if you're not to this point yet, I totally understand. Do you have a company in mind for printing books for people out there who are interested in doing something like this?
I'm going to use Graphy probably to do this. I've used them and I really like their products.
The quality is amazing.
Wasn't there another, isn't there another company that, Mad Cloud, I think?
Oh, yeah, Mad Cloud. I think they do books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mad Cloud is like the second option. I think I'm going to look at costs first. But yeah, Mad Cloud you can do. And I think even Canva will print magazines.
Oh, cool.
This isn't a magazine. It's a magazine, you know, whatever. I don't know how many pages it'll be yet, but yeah.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. You'll have to do some posting, you know, once you have the book ready and, you know. Have you found that most people do end up purchasing photos?
Yes, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. All right. Very cool. Will you talk to people, since we're on the kind of topic of pricing, just about your pricing structure in general? If you want to talk about it, it sounds like it might be very similar for this project and then your other, like, glamour sessions or that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, other than the exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other than, I know they get the hair and makeup in the one print, but so tell us a little bit then about your kind of, you know, glamour style.
Sure. So, like, normal session for glamour is $690. That includes hair and makeup and then like 2 hours in my studio of me photographing them. So they get about 5 to 6 outfits or so.
Oh, great.
Depending. But then again, everything happens at the same time, same day. They look at their photos, they pick them out, they decide which package they want. And then they can buy them a la carte or they can get them in bundles. And then, you know, I do either folio boxes or albums and a combination of that and wall art. And now I'm going to start offering the 9-up. I love the 9-up. Oh my God, I love it.
Very cool. Tell people what a nine-up is for someone who might not know what a nine-up is.
So the nine-up is nine images in a matting that's framed and put in a wall behind them. It could be, you know, from the same outfit, like different faces that they make, or it could be different outfits, whatever they want to put in there. And it could be, I think it's, one is slightly bigger than the other in size. And then it could be either horizontal or vertical, mm-hmm. whatever they want to do.
I really love a nine-up. I think I don't utilize nine-ups as often as I feel like I should. They're really cool.
They're really
especially
cool.
Like when you can capture different compositions, different expressions,
mm-hmm.
and different crops, you know, and lay it all out, people I feel like have a hard time narrowing those down. Because they all look so cool together when you really lay it out like that.
Yeah.
Especially like family photos, different expressions or where it's just the kids and parents, just the parents, you know.
Yeah.
Ah, I just feel like there's so many different ways you can do it.
Yeah, you can use it with couples. You can do it for glamour. You can do it for legacy. I mean, there's many different things you can use it for. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. Where do you order yours from?
Graphy.
Graphy, okay, yeah.
I think that's the only company that makes it, no?
I'm not sure. I have not done my full on research when it comes to different printing companies. Like I love Graphy for albums and things, and I use White House Custom Color for prints.
Gotcha.
You know, I've used a variety of different companies over the year, but I haven't focused so much on printing in my business. So I don't know if I'm the best person to ask.
It's okay. It's beautiful. I highly encourage you to. Get some and have some samples.
Well, when I was at the castle, the Graphic Castle, I was like so fixated on the Velvet albums, and I don't know if they've released them to the public yet, but I was just like petting them, and one is this like it's not mint green, like an ugly mint green. It's like a God, I just want to like bathe in it, mint green velvet. And they'd be like, "Where's Nikki? Oh, petting the album." I'm such a texture person.
And it just brought to mind like you and your chickens.
Oh my gosh. I just got 13 new chicks days ago.
I think that's hilarious. I love it. I love this part about your life.
That means I have 19 chickens. You know how many amazing eggs I'm going to have?
It's
so funny. Monica, this is a total side note. When I got these chickens, I went to the family farm and home here in Chelsea, Michigan. And I was like looking in the bins and I was like, okay, this was last year. I'm like, I'll take two of those, one of those, like just based on how cute they were, how they were acting, whatever. And I knew they were hardy breeds that would be good for like cold and winter because it would say on there like hardy breeder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not quite understand how well these eggs would match my brand in my house. I have a mint green and pale blue eggs.
Watching them. They're beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful. But do you know you can store eggs, like you can take the eggs and put them in, you know about this?
Okay. Preserve them for like 2 years.
Yes.
It's amazing. Eggs are so incredible. I'm like, so you know, in Forrest Gump, when the guy is like, Bubba, is it Bubba?
Yeah,
Bubba. What's his name? Yeah, how he's like fried shrimp, shrimp cocktail. Like that's me. I'm like hard boiled eggs, egg salad, eggs over easy, you know, like that's me.
That's
I love
so
it. Okay,
really
but
funny.
The fact that they're on brand for me,
I
can like post about my eggs and it seriously matches like the colors of my website. It's
That's
so
funny.
Fun. So sometimes, I don't know, people probably get sick of me fucking talking about chickens, but I can't help myself.
I think chickens and having chickens is really underrated. Like we can't even have them in our neighborhood. There's no eggs, there's no hens. They don't realize. They're like, well, we don't like the noise. And I'm like, well, you don't need,
I just got 13 more. I'm going to have 19. If I don't have a rooster in these 13, I am very lucky. I'm knocking on wood right now because I don't want a rooster. But, it's interesting, you know, back to like you were saying, you knew that I love mint green based on my brand. And that means I feel like I have pretty strong brand identity. So thank you for verifying that for me. You know, it's brand is important. And if you can incorporate things that you really love into what you sell, like if I decided I wanted to start doing a million family shoots or, you know, providing albums, I could sell this velvet book like nothing. Like, I seriously, I could, because I love it so much. Yeah. So I think it's really important to find what you love, whether it's a nine up or, you know, an album from whatever, or just prints, or, you know, finding what you love, I think is so key, because it makes it so much easier to sell.
You talking about as an offering for products that
yes,
you have?
Yes, for products yeah. to your clients. Yep.
I mean, exactly. My product offerings are extremely, like, it's super bare. Like, it's just mm-hmm. an album, the folio box, and it's black leather folio box, black leather album with the black embossing. I mean, it's just black, black, black. That's all on brand.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like, that's great, because you're keeping it simple, which I mm-hmm. love, because a confused mind says no. And two, that's your brand. When I look at your mm-hmm. website, it's black and white with some gold mixed in, and that matches your brand.
That's it. And I just like to keep it very, very simple, because I am showcasing the person that I'm photographing. That should be the star.
Yeah.
That's exactly. how I think of it.
Exactly. Will you tell us a little bit about, I know you said your session fee was $690, but tell us about your package pricing and what comes with each package.
My a la carte pricing is $295 for an 8x12. But my folio boxes are, I have 7, 18, and 24, and the 7 image folio is $1,900, and it's 5x7 matted prints in an 8x12 folio box, whereas the 18 and 24 is the bigger folio box, the 11x14. So they're 8x10 or 8x12 images, I guess. And those are $3,600 for the 24 and $2,900 for the 18.
All right, awesome. Now, Monica, if you think back to when you started 24 years ago, I know there's inflation and everything, but like, are you pricing things differently and doing things differently than when you started way back then?
1,001%.
How does it look different?
Well, I definitely wasn't doing IPS back then. So in the beginning, I was mainly photographing weddings. So in general, I would just, everything would be up front. You know, they would get their, unless they're adding on like album pages, everything would be up front. Those are the film days back then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was a little different. I mean, digital didn't come onto scene for me until like 2008. And then, there was a huge learning curve, like a relearning curve going from film to digital, because when you're shooting film, you're over a little bit. And when you're shooting digital, you're under a little bit. If you go mm-hmm. over, it's not good for you. So it was just a little bit of a learning curve there. And then, of course, trying to figure out, what do I want to do? You know, going from film to digital is so different. And also, I was working full time too. So I had my business, but I didn't just quit, you know, working and decide to do photography full time. I made sure that when I was ready to quit my full time job, that my income from my photography was going to replace that income that I was losing. So I had built up my client base, and then, you know, I was ready to go based on, you know, what I had envisioned my life mm-hmm. would look like when I transitioned from working corporate to being a full time photographer.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you and where you're at today, because sounds like you have a pretty awesome thing going.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, there's always room for improvement with everything.
Well, sure. Definitely.
Lots of room for improvement.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to keep us posted on how it goes with the book creation, and make sure you post in our Portrait System group and, you know, tell us all how it went. So, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing okay.
Yes. I mean, I am, you know, cancer free as of last August. I had my cleared scans.
Good.
I think, I mean, the other thing that I will say when it comes to breast cancer or cancer in general is that one size fits one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's
exactly
journey,
right.
Yeah. Everyone's journey is going to be different, and everyone's going to have, even which was really kind of surprising to me because I never knew this, is every breast cancer is a different kind of cancer. People don't know that. They just assume like, oh, you know, when my friend had this, so you're going to have this. And it's like, not exactly, you know, not everybody needs chemo. Not everybody needs radiation. It's really dependent on that person and what's going on with them. But I think the most important thing that I want to say about all this that people can take away from this is like, you're going to need support. Mm-hmm. You're going to need support. And don't try to go at it alone. You're going to need support. And you're going to have to find that support. Whether that's family, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Whether it's, you know, your significant other, again, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. Or whether it's just friends that are there, they come out, you know. Yeah. And you will lose people. You know, when you tell people you have cancer, just be prepared that you will lose them. And that's
the fact. Which is very strange. That seems very strange to me.
It is so funny. Like, if you want to, I just tell people, like, as a joke, I'm like, you know what? If you want to see how many people stick around, just tell them you have cancer. And it's just hilarious to see, to watch it. But it's also very good to clear the space. I think it's fantastic.
And because, keep those awesome people close. Hell yeah.
Exactly. Because then you get to see people's true colors, like who really is really the person that you can count on when times get tough. Because sometimes you think it's somebody that you think it is, but it's actually not them at all. Like, you're like, mm-hmm. what? Oh, so I think for me, it was beautiful because I'm like, okay, well, who's going to be on my journey is going to be on my journey, and who's not, okay, I wish you well. I, you know, I bless and release because I don't have time for that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there's silver linings. Like, you created this really amazing project and, you know, weeded out the no longer necessary people in your life. And
yes. And I really think that, like, that not just that, but it really, having an illness of any kind, like serious illness, I think it really brings clarity to what's important immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, you're like, you realize this is really important. And then that's not important. You know?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I thought this was super important to me. It's not. It's like, you know, moving right along, you know, just really, you really get it. And then you realize that it's very freeing also. It's very freeing to realize what's really important to you. Like, for me, what's really important to me is number one in my life is my family. That's it.
Right.
I mean, my clients are important to me and business is important to me, but that is not the most important thing in the world.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all of this. I know you got quite personal and we really appreciate it. I do have more questions though that I always ask at the end of each episode.
Go for it.
I always find myself smiling when I say that. I don't know why. I'm always like grinning ear to ear, like, I have more questions for you. I'm such a dork. Okay. Anyways, number one is, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
You know what? If you're just starting out, you are in the absolute perfect place that you need to be.
Mm.
And I think you will evolve and just be open to change. Just be open to it and just allow yourself to the freedom to experiment and see which area of photography you love. You know, sometimes you think you love babies, but then when you photograph them, you realize that's not for you. That's okay. It's okay to change your mind, and it's okay to pivot and do something else.
Yeah.
Be flexible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Number two is what? Oh, hang on. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with me right now? I think I need more sleep. I asked you number four instead of number one. Did you catch that?
No.
Oh my God. The listeners who listen all the time are probably like, what is she on right now? I'll tell you what I'm on is not a lot of sleep because, well, we went to Mexico as a family, which was incredible. Oh, it was so wonderful. And then the day after we got back, my husband left for Texas for a BMX trip. So it was just me and the kids for 6 days. He just got home late last night, but we had a hailstorm in the middle of the night. Wide awake, running out to bring the cats in the garage. You know, we have barn cats, but it's so loud in the barn when it rains, and the hail I knew was freaking them out. So I brought him in.
Aww.
And then we have WPPI. Are you going?
Yes, I told you. I'll see you this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God.
That's okay.
Seriously. Oh, so, I swear weird. I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah. I'll be okay.
Yeah, no, just tired.
Oh my God. Anyway, okay, so I have WPPI.
Yeah.
And then I'll be at WPPI Saturday to Tuesday because Wednesday is my family snowboarding trip.
Right.
So we're just like back to back to back. And I my brain is a million freaking places right now.
That's okay. It's all right.
Okay. Anyways, we'll go back to number one, which actually is number one, is what is something you cannot live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
What is something I cannot live without?
Yep. It doesn't have to be like a photography product. It could be anything.
You know what I can't live without is good music.
Wow, that's great. A lot of people say that.
I have to have my music. And also, yeah, I have coffee in my studio and I have to have that. That's like the thing.
Yeah. Heck yeah. It sets a tone.
Yeah. Yeah. It sets a tone. Yeah. That's it. Music and coffee. And I think just, you know, having a great, like, happy attitude is also what, like, what's really necessary, I think, in life and this job. Like, I think when you're happy, people just can't not be happy if you're happy. You know? Yeah,
it's infectious, definitely.
It's infectious. I believe that.
All right. And then number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
Oh, when I'm not working, I am absolutely in a, like, my I have two dogs that like are all over me every minute of every day. So I spend time with my dogs. I have two doodles.
What kind of dogs are they?
Doodles.
Aww.
I have a Labradoodle and a Golden Doodle. They're rescues. And then I have my absolute love of my life. Don't tell my husband. It's my cat. he's everything to me, my cat.
Aww.
So they're all rescues. And then, yeah. And then I travel. Like, I'm from Europe, so I like to go back. I like to try different places, and I love to cook. I'm a big foodie, so I'm always cooking. I'm always using the crock pot, trying new things, doing new recipes. Yeah, so that's it.
Fantastic. I'm about to make homemade pasta for the first time tonight.
Homemade pasta?
Hmm.
Oh my gosh. Do you have the right flour?
I sure do. I drove all the way to Ann Arbor, well, all the way 30 minutes to Ann Arbor to like a high-end kind of grocery store or whatever to get it. It's 00 flour.
Oh, that's what you're using.
Caputo. Okay. Caputo.
Caputo?
Bread. Wait. Caputo chef flour, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked into it. Well, my cousin looked into it for me and then told me what to get.
Nice. And do you have the machine?
I'm pumped. I have the attachment that goes on my KitchenMaid that my husband is laughing at me because this is probably the first time I've used it in the 13 years that I've had it. So
that's fantastic.
I'm not a baker.
Okay. I have to have details out how this goes.
I'll let you know. Yeah. I will let you know. Okay. Number three is, what is a photography specific product that you would recommend to everyone?
What do I love? Man, this is a hard one. So, I use the spider holster. Would I say that's the number one thing? I don't know.
I love my spider holster. I say that every time someone says it.
Spider holster.
And I'm not like affiliated with them whatsoever either, for the record.
I mean, it's all Sue's fault. You have to tell her that it's all
Hey, guess
her
who
fault.
Introduced spider holster to Sue? That would be me.
You didn't.
I sure did.
Oh, it's all your fault.
I know.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
The spider holster is great. I have a dual holster.
Oh, you have the dual. Nice.
I have the dual holster, but I have to say, I am really kind of, I don't know that I would be saying that that's the number one thing. I like my MagMod spheres. I like my MagMod modifiers. Am I a MagMod whore? Probably.
Cool. No, that's awesome. Give something, you know, people to look into. MagMod.
I'm a big MagMod. Like, I love the magnetic, everything magnetic. You just click it on. And
that's
just
nice.
I love
simplicity
that.
And ease.
That's it. I mean, my life, everything that makes my life easy is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All righty. And where can people find you online?
DemelPortraits.com. It's all over the internet.
It's DEMEL.
Yeah. DEMEL portraits.com. Yeah.
For the record, it's Demel, but
thank you.
Yeah. But Demel is easier for people to find and
Yes. Yes. There's a hotel in Austria called the, or in Poland, the Demel Hotel, Demel Hotel in Poland, and the Demel Cafe in Austria, where they make the,
nice.
My family is actually related to those people that,
how cool is that?
Desserts for the Emperor of Austria back in 1700.
Very cool.
Now you know.
All right. Well, thank you again, and I will see you in a couple days.
I can't wait. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Nikki. I appreciate it so
Thanks,
much.
Monica.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com. It's time for me to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Fujifilm North America. If you haven't experienced portraits and wedding scenes created on the large format GFX system digital camera sensor, you are missing out. Along with up to 102 megapixel resolution, you'll find rich colors and gorgeous in-camera looks. There's also AI-driven subject detection and 8 frames per second bursts inside the compact GFX100 digital camera. Hit the link in this episode's description to view the products. It's time to dream big in your creative process.